Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Podcasting since 2005. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Back on the scene. With your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go. And you're listening to episode 681 of Gamertag Radio. I am Paris, and I'm here with Pete.
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing great. Danny is not here with us tonight because, again, he is the international superstar, and he's traveled the world, and he needed a break. So Danny is taking a well-deserved break again for this episode, but he will be back for episode 682. So before we even start the show, I'm literally going to kick it off this way. You know, I know we've been tweeting all day about we got some Destiny 2 beta codes to give away. I will get to that in just a second. But I want to point out what is going on today with a lot of different streamers, YouTube personalities, and of course, podcasters like ourselves. We're talking about net neutrality and why it is very important for all of us to get together and let the FCC know that we need to keep net neutrality. So I'm going to tell everyone listening right now, and then I'll also paste this in our Twitch chat room. Hello to everybody on Twitch that's watching us tonight. Go to netneutrality.internetassociation.org/action. And I will put that in the Twitch chat in just a second. But what I want you guys to do is go there, read up on everything that is talking about net neutrality. We don't need to repeat everything about net neutrality here today, but the point is, it is very important that we keep this in the United States because it allows the internet to stay fair for everyone and not just big businesses, not the people that have the deepest pockets. So please go to netneutrality.internetassociation.org/action. Read up, let the FCC know we need to keep this. Don't let big businesses win when it comes to keeping the internet fair for everyone. So, Pete, any comments you want to make on that before we move on?
No, I mean, it's plain and simple. If you appreciate anything on the internet, for example, whether it would be YouTube, us on Twitch, the show, actually, as we start to finally move in, we start to get some of the barriers now with this whole net neutrality thing. If you'd like your internet free and clear, you know, sign up. Just go to the page. There's a big arrow points to the right. Says tell the FCC to keep net neutrality. Sign the petition. If you want to do express or you want to do the big one, you know, the major one, you can. It's up to you. Just select 17-108, restoring internet freedom. Go to plus express and fill out the form. If you really care about the internet, making sure that what you have is free and clear with no interruptions, for example, this show, you would go ahead and do so. It's highly recommended.
Absolutely. And with that said, everyone that is joining us tonight for Twitch, as promised, we're going to start giving away some Destiny 2 beta codes. So I just hit send. There's five of them in the chat right now. Knock yourselves out. It's a free for all. Go ahead and grab those five codes right now, and then we'll go ahead and continue with the show right now. So past couple days, Amazon, it's been Prime Day, Pete.
Yeah.
I know I took advantage of Prime Day. What about yourself?
I got a big fat bucket of disappointment. Similar to yourself, we well, actually shout out. I want to say it was maybe N2 Cranes on our Twitch or on our Discord server, actually, that may have pulled it out, but gave us a heads up that that there was a 4K TV from Samsung. It was 5 milliseconds, a latency or something like that, for dirt cheap, like $280 or something like that. I want to say 28 inch, perfect, exactly what I need and what I want here in my office. And I held off, I backed off because I was like, I kind of want G-Sync. I want to get 144 Hertz. I know you're never going to get it for that price to get, you know, all of those, but it happened. It came through, I passed and I didn't get it. Tried to get it the following day and right. It was sold out, apparently because someone on this show got one.
Oh yes, I got one because again, I have no shyness in me at all when it comes. Look, I might have some social anxiety about certain things, but when it comes to getting a great deal on the internet, I'm all for it, and I will stand on the corner and show some leg if I need to. So, Yeah, I was able to get that 28-inch Samsung 4K monitor, and then I wanted to get a second one. And Amazon was like, no, 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 no. You only get one because this is limited quality. So I went on Twitter, showed a little leg, and my friends helped me out, slid up in some DMs, and I got two coming. So I got the second one. I should have them both tomorrow, as a matter of fact.
Wow.
And with that said, matter of fact, as you can see me right now, I'm talking on my brand new mic stand. I'm not going to move the camera so people on Twitch chat can see it. But I got a new mic stand as well, which literally just came in like an hour ago. And so those are the things I got from the Prime deal. And it's just going to lead me to completely reconfigure my office to make it the ultimate game capture, podcasting, streaming, you know, situation that I could possibly have. So I'm going to take those two 4K monitors. I'm going to have those. And then, like, you know, I have my 50 inch, that LG, like I was telling you earlier, I'm literally going to mount that on the wall right behind the two monitors and just put elevated up a little bit. So I'm going to have that 3-4K monitor situation going. So it'll be the ultimate thing for when I'm streaming, you know, on Twitch, I can just be on the two 4K monitors, looking to my left and my right. But if it's just me playing solo, doing game capture, whatever, I can play it on the big 50 inch. And, you know, I got my PS4 Pro here, obviously got my gaming PC and got the web. I got everything I need now. So I'm pretty happy. I shouldn't say everything. Shout out to Marsha at the Mommy Gamers because she showed me her stream setup earlier on Twitter. And then I was like, yo, I got to talk to you. I hit her up. And she gave me the Amazon link to where she got all her lighting from and green screen and all that. So not going to do it right away, but that's the plan. I'm definitely going to get better lighting in here, get the whole green screen effect going and all that. So by Friday, I should have the basics of my setup ready to go. And then I'm excited for what we can do, you know, here in the next couple of weeks. And just again, since we'll be doing this on Twitch, it'll make myself a little more presentable, I should say. So I'm excited.
Awesome. So you're going to go for the whole, like, just the outline of you, like, splattered onto a game screen. You don't want to have the background of, like, the two doors and stuff like that.
Oh, I don't know. I might. Like I said, I'll play it by ear and see what I like. You know what I mean? So cool. I just noticed I looked in the webcam. My water was right there in the webcam. So I want to get into some Destiny 2 beta news here.
Let's do it.
So, you know, IGN First has been doing their thing this week. We've been getting a lot of information about the upcoming Destiny 2 beta, which again, PlayStation Early Access starts July 18th, and Xbox Early Access starts July 19th. Open beta starts on July 21st. So let me pull up my notes because I got to have my notes. See, notes. Hey, look, we on Twitch, man, so people can see what the hell I'm doing. So I got to let them know what I'm doing. So. So first and foremost, like I said, IGN, they showed off a new map that's going to be on the moon Nessus or planet. I don't know what it is exactly, but Nessus, one of the new spaces that we can play on. And that map is called Endless Veil. They showed off control on that map. And there's been some changes to control because now we're going to 4v4 versus 6v6 in Destiny 1. Mm-hmm. So something I kind of like. A and C are automatically captured when you start the match. So what it's going to do is create more people going broke for B, you know, all at once. We're going to start to see that. Another thing, you only need one person to capture a spot now. So because in Destiny 1, the more people you had on a spot, the quicker you'd capture it. Now you don't need that. It'll capture it at the same speed, no matter how many people are standing on it. So that'll create some different scenarios where, like, say you and I are playing and I could be like, all right, Pete, I got A, you can either defend at a tactical spot, or then you can go help someone else go try to capture B or whatever. Right. Also, which I think is kind of important, the flag is transparent the closer you get to it. So it's not going to be in your line of sight if you need to shoot someone, if you're looking, you know, trying to be tactical and then look to see who's coming around a corner or whatever. So those are actually all changes I'm pretty excited about. What about yourself?
My question, I don't know if it's more anticipation, but it's more of, because now it's no longer 6v6, it's now 4v4, et cetera. Are these going to be the same scale or same size maps that we had before, just now with four less players? Or are we looking at potentially having smaller maps because we've got less people on the playing field?
No, they are smaller. They've already made that known that the maps are going to, they've scaled these maps for 4v4 play. So it's not like they're taking 4v4 and throwing it into a map that was made for 16 players. You know what I mean? So in that sense, okay, I get it. You know, like I said, not the biggest fan of them scaling down a 4v4, but having played it, I understand it. And after a few matches, you get used to it and you have a lot of fun with it.
Right.
The videos are not indicative of what we played at the reveal event or E3, because when I played it, it was a lot slower and a lot more tactical. But when you watch these videos of pure gameplay, and Bungie's even admitted that was from an older build, it was a lot quicker, a lot faster, more action-packed kind of thing. But what Bungie is going for with the 4v4 play is to make a more tactical PvP shooter. And ultimately, that's kind of what I really want. So I'm okay with it. If I want a speed shooter, I'll go play Call of Duty.
That's true.
So again, they got into some of the more classes. We finally, because you know I'm Warlock for life, we finally got to see the Voidwalker in action, and looked like a lot of fun. Scatter grenades are back. They've had a graphical upgrade, which makes them look a little cooler. Right. And then we saw the Nova Bomb, and the Nova Bomb looked like Goku with a spirit bomb throwing it in Dragon Ball Z, right? But it was a huge void. Just looked like a huge axiom bolt in a way, right? And it moved very slow. And what we saw in the video was it actually tracked and went around the corner. So I don't know if that's how the Nova Bomb just works, period, or if that's a selection, you know, in your subclass tree, which I'm guessing it's probably a selection in the subclass tree. Right. So they'll probably...
I would assume that's going to be something later on down the tiers of updates or upgrades of that, because the ability to have it actually track, albeit slowly, still is, you know, it's still going to be something to, you know, to want to have. And I doubt that that's something that they're going to unlock up front or very early in your gameplay. The other question would be, I noticed also that when it explodes, it explodes into like smaller shards, but that they don't track. So I'm wondering, that's something that I think would have been cool, that if it explodes early and it doesn't hit anybody, will it explode? And then will the shards that come off of it track as well? Kind of like Wolfpack rounds.
Right, right. And then we saw from the Titan camera point of view, it did split out at the end when it exploded. So, I mean, again, we'll have to wait to get more information on that to see. But overall, I was happy to see the Voidwalker return, and it didn't look like it got changed too much to make me grumpy or anything. Now, we also got to see this week the Sentinel Titan. And look, I might be Warlock for life, but I might be riding or dying with a Titan too, because that looked hot. I loved the Sentinel. Now has basically the Captain America shield. He can throw it. He can do a shoulder charge with it. It's basically the void version of the shoulder charge versus, you know, with Striker Titan in Destiny 1. And like I said, he can do a shoulder charge with it. He can throw the shield, and you can also pop your bubble with it as well. You still have the Warder Dawn, and it looked like from the video it was Armor of Light. So I highly doubt they're going to bring back weapons and blessings and all that. It's probably just the one thing. And the bubble is a lot more destructible now. So you have to be very careful of that when you're playing PvP or even in PvE, like in a raid or something like that, if you use the bubble. So seeing that subclass basically of the Void Titan, pretty excited about it. I'm definitely looking forward to playing it. I got to play the Striker Titan, you know, at the reveal event. And I've never been that big of a fan of it, but I do like that it's a roaming super now for the Striker Titan, and you can do multiple smashes with it before your super goes away. So that was kind of cool to see as well.
Yeah, the thing that kind of bothered me, and it's mainly because while I like playing a hunter, I despise the Blade Hunter or the Blade Dancer, sorry. And seeing the Titan as a Sentinel, having that shield, reminded me of kind of like a tanky Blade Dancer. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because seeing the Titan bounce from side to side using the shoulder charge as a Sentinel, you would think somebody as, you know, essentially the tank class, because that's pretty much what it is. If you think about it, being able to move that quickly just almost felt OP. And I'm kind of curious if maybe that's going to be one of the first things that get nerfed is that super.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have to see, because right now, of all the supers that I've either got to see or experience, Sentinel definitely looks like the most powerful out of all of them. So, I mean, we'll have to see. What, and again, this is what the beta is for, to get that kind of feedback. So it still gives Bungie a little bit of time to do some tweaking before the retail launch on September 6th. Yep. So the final thing that came out this week with the Destiny 2 beta is the emphasis on story. They had a couple of the story folks from Bungie talking in an IGN First video, and they even went as far as to say that they hope people complain about there being too much story, which, look, I'm looking at the camera and say this directly. Bungie, don't get too cocky when it comes to that. Just put out a decent story. Let's not get ahead of ourselves before the game comes out. That's all I care about. Just put out a reasonable cinematic story. Get me from point A to point B. Tell me the lore inside the game. Get me to a strike. Ultimately, get me to the raid. That's all I really want from Destiny. So as long as they can do that and they can keep building upon this universe and this world that they started 3 years ago, which, by the way, is insane to me that I've been playing this game so much for 3 years, you know, and I'm still excited about it and still want to play it. So, you know, as bad as the story may have been in Destiny 1, they obviously got something right, because I understand the lore of it. I understand the characters, the world, and potentially, like, I understand why Gary or Gaul, whatever you want to call him, in the Red Legion is here to take back that, you know, to capture the Traveler and take away the light from the Guardians. I get why they're doing that. You know what I mean? Because I am invested enough into this world and this universe to want to understand all that stuff. So again, just keep that going. As long as they keep that going, I'll be happy and excited to see. So what about you? What do you think about
all this? As long as the story is implemented properly and it's not something I have to dig in or dig through Grimoire cards or going online and tracking down the story, and if I got to sit there and do math, I'm out. That's not something that I want, especially from Destiny. I mean, and maybe that's because Destiny is kind of has kind of burnt that into me to not expect a lot of story. And I kind of see where you say that maybe there wouldn't be as much, or there would be too much story. I mean. And shout out to I want to see what it was, Barbie, for following. Thumbs up on that. But I don't know if you can do too much story. I'm not expecting Uncharted 4 storyline type writing out of this game. But if you can give me something to encourage me or entice me to want to continue playing the PvE component and not just be pure grind, I think that's going to tap that vein for a lot of the people that may have checked out on vanilla or the original Destiny title. Because I think that'll give people the opportunity to get invested into Destiny and not just be, you know, not just be, okay, I gotta sit here and shoot into a cave for an hour, or I gotta go do 36, you know, dive, you know, missions that I have to go in and retrieve something. You know, if you can make that story something tangible, something that you want to continue digging into, then I think they'll go a long way.
Agreed. 100% agree. And I'm looking at the chat right now. It is baby, not Barbie.
Yeah, I saw that too. That's why I paused halfway through my talk. I was like, oh, damn. Keep going.
So, all right. So I think we're good on the Destiny 2 talk for this week. I'm sure some people listening to this or watching this go, oh, thank God. I'm so glad they're not talking about this anymore. So again, beta is next week. I'm all in on it, obviously. I'll be streaming 10 a.m. on the 18th, and I'm also going to be doing some game capture. I'll have some YouTube videos up after the beta is over and all that stuff. So we'll talk about more of that next week after we've had some real hands-on with it. So with that said, let's take a break.
Okay.
And let's get a word from our sponsor, Western Digital. And while we talk about Western Digital, I'm going to be in the chat room giving away some Destiny 2 codes. Ooh. So, Pete, let's talk about Western Digital.
Awesome. Yeah. So you mentioned earlier about how you were, you know, you're redoing the setup and you're planning on redoing the setup in your office. I actually redid my computer about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, and it gave me an opportunity to pull out the hard drives that I had in there before, slap in these brand new WD blue drives that I got, the SSD 256 drives. They sent over, and I know you've been using it in your rig for a while now, the 4 terabyte hybrid SSHD They work fantastic. I'm happy because finally I've got my rig like humming and high performing the way it should be. And the only way you could do that is with WD. So now you're able to get solid state drives and hard drives to fit my needs, your unique needs. When you add the superior performance of a WD solid state drive to your PC, you get blazing read speed so you can boot your system quickly, which mine does. It's like 20 seconds or something like that. Load games and other applications in a snap. Combined with a reliable WD hard drive, you get up to 6 terabytes of storage to keep your games library, direct feed video, podcasts, and more all in a single place. And for a limited time, it's still available. Gamertag Radio listeners and viewers can get 20% off WD SSDs with a coupon code WDGTR. So for more information, just go to WD.com/GTR. Use the code WDGTR, get 20% off. And it's 20% off solid state drives only. Unfortunately, it's not available for larger mass stores, but we are talking with WD in the background to see, you know, maybe this is something that we can work on in the future. You know, maybe it won't be just dedicated to solid state drives. Maybe we can start, you know, maybe they can work with us and give something more along the lines of mass storage, like the 2, the 4, maybe the 6 gig, the 4, 2, 4, or 6 terabytes of storage that, I mean, we could use.
100% agree. I say it every time we talk about Western Digital. That 4 terabyte SSHD hybrid drive that I got saved my tuchus because I got into all this game capture and 4K stuff and flying drones and all this video editing I've been doing takes up a ton of space. So I didn't even realize I needed the drive until I got the drive. You know what I mean? So say it again. Take advantage of this deal that we have. Use that code WDGTR. And like Pete said, we're actively talking with Western Digital right now about expanding that out to more of their hard drives throughout the whole Western Digital, you know, library or whatever you want to call it, just everything that they're doing. So hopefully we get that done soon. Pass those savings along to you guys, because look, if you're listening to this, if you're watching this on Twitch, most likely you're doing some type of streaming. You're into gaming somehow. You're into video and editing on some level. And trust me when I tell you, you're going to want this, because like I said, if you're a gamer, especially on the PC, you're going to need a hard drive to play games. And the more games you play, the more hard drive space you need. If you're in editing, the more space you're going to need. God forbid you get into 4K like me, you're really going to need some space. So take advantage again. Use that code. Get 20% off WDGTR. So back to the show. And I forgot to do this, and I'm sure Danny has edited in earlier. But Danny, if you didn't, please remind everyone where they can contact us and where they can find us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
See, I got all that net neutrality stuff and completely forgot about that. But all right, let's move on with the show. So there was an Instagram post from Atari talking about the Atari box, and they show 2 versions of this box. And the question that I'm going to ask, and I'll be curious to get your thoughts on this as well. Realistically, what could Atari really be bringing to the market with this? There's no way they're bringing a console that could compete with the Xbox One or the PlayStation 4 or hell, even the Switch at this point, right? My thought is this. This is probably an NVIDIA Shield competitor. It's probably something that is powered by Android. It'll play those Android games. It'll probably be a streaming box that you can play your favorite videos on, put Netflix on it, YouTube, etc. Things like that. Maybe, again, kind of the way the NVIDIA Shield works, it'll talk to Steam and you can do the game stream across from your PC over your network to that Atari box. And then maybe they get a few, you know, semi-exclusive deals with some indie developers to put on that box. Maybe they debut on the box and then eventually they'll go to PC and other platforms or things like that. And in my opinion, this cannot be priced over $200, or why waste your time even putting it out? So your thoughts on that?
I know everything that you know, all the news articles, I know GamesBeat had the exclusive on this. They're saying that it's going to be PC based. So I see where you're going with potential NVIDIA Shield type of device. Hopefully it's not the Ouya. I have one. I can see it. I'm curious if maybe from a hardware slash console perspective, is this a crowded space now at this point? Like, are we talking, is there too many choices? I know consumers love choice, but at some point there's too much. And the other concern would be what kind of reliability or library could we sustainably see from Atari, short of like their classic library?
Well, like you said, the first question you asked, are there too many options right now? I currently view it as there's a big three, and then everyone else is just an also-ran. The big three is going to be Roku, it's going to be NVIDIA with their Shield, and it's going to be Amazon with their Fire TV, right? It's going to be extremely hard to bring a fourth competitor into that market on the gaming and especially on the video streaming side. People are going to stick with what's reliable and what they know. So it's going to take something monumental from Atari. And let's be real here. Like, you just brought up Atari and their games library. What do they even own at this point that they could say is exclusive to them? At this point, those IPs are either dead and buried or they've been sold off to someone else, right? I mean, I don't know what they could bring to the market that would get anyone excited in 2017. Right. And I'm looking at the chat room. I'll just say this real quick to the chat room. Two things. Because Pete on the Twitch stream, for people that's listening, he's wearing a Gamertag Radio shirt. Danny got a limited supply of those. Didn't get an XL one, so I don't have one. But we'll have to. We're talking about that. We're definitely going to get some merch going eventually here for people that are watching on Twitch and people that are listening to the show. So stay tuned on that. See, this is why Danny should have been on episode, because then he could answer this better than I can. Because maybe I'm 100% wrong and he's screaming right now, going, "What are you talking about? I don't know."
He's sitting on like three boxes of like extra large.
Yeah, and then actually, one of our mods in our Twitch chat brought up a great point. Apple TV. Duh, I wasn't even thinking about that. Yeah, they're the number four guy. They're the fourth option in this, especially when the next revision of Apple TV comes out and it can do 4K. So when you add Apple TV in as well to the other three that I listed, what the hell is Atari going to do? I mean, realistically. So, I mean, we'll see what they got. We'll see what the pricing on it is and everything. But to be perfectly blunt, I'm not expecting much. I'm really not.
So if it comes out, are you buying one?
I think I pretty much answered that. No, I'm not buying one. So let's just go ahead and move on from that. Something else that came out recently, 2K announced that WWE 2K18 is going to come to the Nintendo Switch. So this also follows up with 2K bringing NBA 2K18 to the Nintendo Switch. And now that I'm a Switch owner, hey, I'm down. Why not? And, you know, Danny and I actually had a conversation about this offline. Realistically, I don't expect PlayStation 4, Xbox One fidelity with this. This will be closer to something that you would see on the 360 or the PS3 just due to the hardware limitations of the Switch. Right. So I'm not expecting that much. But even if it's a 360 PS3 type game that I can play anywhere and you're a fan of WWE, why not? It doesn't hurt. If anything, this is what I want to see. I want to see third-party companies bring games to Nintendo Switch. I don't want to only rely on Nintendo to provide me entertainment on the Switch. Again, I've said it before since E3. It's all I can talk about, it seems. When we talk Switch, the first game that excites me is Mario plus Rabbids. I can't wait till that comes out in a few weeks. I will get that day one, and I will be talking about it nonstop because it doesn't get any better than taking the Mario universe, the Rabbids universe, and then sprinkling some XCOM on top of it. Trust me when I tell you, when you guys play it, you will see what I mean. And that, in my opinion, could almost sell Switches by itself. And I didn't get to play Mario Odyssey. Pete, you did, or you watched Danny play
I sat in close proximity.
So, because we haven't really had that conversation. And look, sure. I know I'm tangenting away from the original topic, but oh well, we're gonna switch talk. Let's talk about that. Mario Odyssey. I mean, you got to see it. I've only seen videos. For you being there in person and getting to watch Danny play it, what are your thoughts on that?
It's definitely, I mean, A, it's And it's not the gorilla for Nintendo, obviously, that belongs to Donkey Kong. But when it comes to AAA IPs, regardless of the piece of plastic you're playing on, Mario is always at the top of that list. And there's a reason for it, because of its accessibility to people, regardless of the age, whether you're 5, 7 years old, or you're a 43-year-old salty dude from St. Petersburg, Florida, it has a place for everyone. And that game, while up until E3, I had been staunchly against getting a Switch because I didn't see anything that compelled me to get it between Mario Odyssey and, like you said, the Rabbids Mario game. Mm-hmm. Like, I need to start, brushing up on the PowerPoint. I need to get the deck ready, maybe get a Visio diagram in there showing, whatever. But yeah, it's gotten to the point now where now I have to kind of, mentally prepare myself to get it. My only concern, personally, with everything coming out this year, am I going to have enough time to play it? And that's my concern.
Oh, trust me, I'm in the same boat as you. Let's let's just recap October 27th, 2017. Mario Odyssey, Wolfenstein 2, Assassin's Creed Origins, and oh, by the way, a little television show on Netflix called Stranger Things 2. That all drops on the same day.
Yep. And I'm going to be...
I don't even know what I'm going to do. I really don't know what I'm going to do.
I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to be a tough mutter in Central Florida, so I'm not going to do anything.
hey, well, sucks for you. And by the way, Twitch chat room, I just dropped 3 codes in the chat, so have fun with Destiny 2. Yeah, dude, that's just going to be nuts. So, but again, going back to the original topic of the Switch, man, I am very pleasantly surprised with where the Switch currently is and its future potential, and the fact that we're seeing third parties starting to embrace it, and that it's selling very well, and it's probably going to have a very strong holiday. Let me pivot on that, because you and I have not really had this conversation. The Super Nintendo Mini, I think that's what it's called.
Yeah.
Coming out, is that August, September, whenever that's coming out up in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. I'm curious of your thoughts on that compared to obviously what we have with the Switch. Are you excited for it?
Not at all. I have zero intent or desire to get it. And I know Danny and I had that offline discussion, kind of heated about the viability of those titles or those products, especially with the success that the Switch has had, B, the issue with inventory again, mm-hmm. as per usual with Nintendo products, because they always under supply. Maybe that's more to create the demand to ensure that that the hardware, is viable and maintains its lifespan, or maybe because, the Japanese culture is always very, very conservative, and let's slowly bleed it into the environment as opposed to flooding the market. And, kind of like with the Xbox One, and the Kinect, but I just don't see the viability of something like that, especially, and I know it hasn't been wholeheartedly, confirmed by Nintendo, but we know that a virtual console is coming eventually.
Right.
Why, and I don't want to say like used car salesman bait and switch situation, but why have that scenario where you have consumers going out 3-4 in the morning, ice cold weather outside, and standing in a rain and sleet or whatever to try to get one of these things for their kids? Limited market or limited inventory, you can't get it. Then they do it again for the Super Nintendo Classic Mini thing. I don't know. It just, focus on the Switch. You've got a hit. You've got a monster that's going to sell out regardless. I mean, it's been what? How many months now since that launched? Still very, very difficult to find one. Hell, Fat Kids on Twitter, Fat Kid Deals or whatever, you can hardly find it there. You can't find it. I mean, it was very hard to find on Amazon. If you're lucky, you can, but it's, your strong suit, just settle with your DSs and your and you're.
But I'm gonna tell you why they're making it. I'm telling you why they're doing it. I'm telling you why they're charging $80 for it, because they can, and it's a quick and it's a quick cash grab until the virtual console is ready, and they will get people to double and triple dip on the same freaking games again on the Switch when the virtual console is out. So that's why they're doing it. And yeah, the average consumer, the average parent, me. We'll probably have my dumb ass out there in November shaking like a leaf in the cold waiting to go get it, you know, for Santa Claus. Right. So, I mean, that's why they're doing, you know, do I personally think like the Nintendo, the NES Classic right now is collecting dust. They don't touch that thing anymore. Right. But then all of a sudden they're going to get the fever in the holiday. Oh, I want one. And then I'm going to be convinced to go get one. And then they'll get that, play it for 2 months, collects dust. Now, me personally, as a Switch owner, I'm waiting on a virtual console because that's where I want to play those games. That's where I want to play those Super Nintendo games. That's where I want to play those Nintendo 64 and GameCube games. I want to play them on the Switch. I don't want to play them hooked up to a television like it's 1987 again. I don't want to do that. So for me, no, not something I'm excited about, but I get the appeal of it, and I understand why Nintendo is going down that route and is going to do it. So, for Danny, I'm going to bring up this one topic here. We'll keep it brief, but I'm bringing it up because he was so insistent that we talk about it. So Digital Foundry had a video talking about the Xbox One X specs revealed, you know, from a developer point of view. And, you know, they talked about some games, and, you know, it wasn't 100%, hey, this is Forza 7. But if you do the math and you kind of look at what the spec sheet was saying, it was Forza 7 and some other games. And impressively, it looks like there is definitely a lot of horsepower under the hood with that GPU. And like, it was doing Forza 7, native 4K, 60 frames per second with room to spare as far as, you know, power still left mm-hmm. in the GPU to be able to do other things like an ultra mode and all that. So like I said, I just want to keep it short and sweet. No need to make this a console war or anything crazy like that. But I'm very happy to see that. I'm excited for Xbox owners that are looking to invest in an Xbox One X and a 4K television to be able to pick that up. We already know the first party Xbox games are going to do 4K. They're going to do most likely they're going to do 60. The ones that can't do the native 4K will do checkerboard, and everything is going to look amazing on it, right? My hope is if the Xbox One X has power to spare and the play, like say, let's say the PS4 Pro is maxed out on what they can do, even at checkerboard mm-hmm. on a certain third party game, but that same game on Xbox One X, there's still some room to spare and there's still some extra effects and lighting and things that you can do. I just hope third-party developers take advantage of that. That's all I want to say.
Okay. I get it. I mean, we've killed this horse, so I don't want to spend too much time, like you right. said, on this. I think it's good for Microsoft to finally get into this space. I'm glad to hear that it wasn't all just market speak, that it legitimately does deliver from a hardware perspective. It gives you the flops, it gives you the teraflops, it gives you the 4K. Hell, I mean, we saw what Respawn said about, you know, being able to play it in 6K. Not like we have a monitor to do that or the money to spend on a monitor that can play it like that, but to know that it has the bandwidth and the capacity to handle that plus more, which means future games will be that much better for us as gamers. So I'm glad that it wasn't all market speak and right. PR terminology just to get people to get excited about it and throw money at it. I'm glad that it's a legitimate claim that was substantiated and backed up by a third party such as, you know, Digital Foundry, who everybody respects. So.
Agreed. 100% agree. And that's the thing. This is coming from Digital Foundry. So, you know, that you can pretty much, you know, 99.9%, you know, respect their opinion and know that it's fact.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I was happy to see that. So I want to move on to one more topic here as I drop two more Destiny 2 beta codes in chat. Actually, I want to get to two more things. So really quick before we end the show with the final one. This one, you know, is near and dear to my heart. Logitech bought Astro.
Yeah.
And they spent $85 million in cash, and they're expecting to have the Astro brand merged into the Logitech G brand by fiscal year 2018. I've talked about it enough. I've ranted and raved on social media enough about Astro, so I'm not going to repeat that here other than to simply say I'm happy to see that the Astro technology of their headsets and what they can do in the console space, you know, with surround sound, is being brought into Logitech, because I think Logitech has the customer service and the marketing to back that up and expand what Astro started. So I am definitely happy to see Astro products now become a part of Logitech for that very reason, because as we know, my issue with Astro wasn't the headset, it wasn't the hardware, it was just simply the customer service. So I think this will be the shot in the arm that the Astro brand needed. So I guess the bigger question is, does Astro as a brand completely go away? If the press release I read, if I interpreted it correctly, it sounds like it is. It sounds like everything will just be branded Logitech G from now on. So Astro in turn will go away. So we'll see. What do you think?
I don't know if that's from a marketing perspective. I don't know if that's the right play, but I mean, hey, I'm in IT, I'm not in marketing, so maybe I could be wrong. I just think that the Astro name comes with so much cachet.
Yeah.
Not to say that Logitech doesn't, because Logitech, I mean, at the end of the day, if you think Logitech, the first thing that comes to my mind is keyboards and mouse, right? And actually my Harmony One controller also. But for the most part, when you think of headsets, Astro's up on top there, you know, at the top of the mountain. I mean, you put them on the Mount Rushmore of gaming accessories, you know, overall. Does it make sense to just let that fall off to the wayside? And like, I get it, it's a merger, they're absorbing it, and you know, I don't know. I just think it's not bad service. I just think it's bad to just discard the name thinking that it's going to go away.
But here's the thing. And just a little bit of inside baseball, because obviously you guys know I've been reviewing a lot of Logitech products over the past couple of years. Mm-hmm. And pretty much every time they bring me in to show me their new headset, I say it every time. You guys are missing a golden opportunity in the console space because you don't have a surround sound headset for consoles. And every time they smile at me and they say, we know we're working on something. They say it every time, literally just at E3 when they showed me the Logitech G433. And I think I even said it in the interview I did. If you go back in the archives and listen to it, I said it on there to Andrew. I'm like, dude, you guys are missing out. And he even said, hey, we got something in the works, so maybe this was the plan. And they even said in the press release they right. wanted to break into the console space. So with that said, I see both sides of the coin. Mm-hmm. You kind of don't want to get rid of the Astro name, but realistically, Logitech as a whole is a bigger brand name than Astro. They just are. So they potentially could get away with calling it Logitech G, formerly Astro, bring it to the PlayStation 4, the Xbox One, Switch, whatever, and go from there. You know what I mean? So we'll see. So like we said, it's going to be fiscal year 2018. So this is coming sooner than later. This will be this holiday. We'll start to see those products. So wait and see. I think the move's interesting. I just think the move's interesting. And I'm looking forward to seeing what Logitech's going to do with the Astro hardware.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
So, final topic, and then we'll get out of here because we don't want to run too long. We've both seen Spider-Man Homecoming. We're not going to spoil the movie. I promise anyone that's listening to this or is in the Twitch chat, no spoilers. I walk out of the movie when I saw it, because I'm on the West Coast. Pete is on the East. He saw it right before I did. And in our private chat, he was a little underwhelmed by it. And I said, and I quote, Pete, you are smoking dope. That's what I said, LOL. And then we've not really talked about it since. So I'll just start it this way, because I'm doing this because I'm just dying to hear why your thoughts. I freaking love the movie. I said it on Twitter, which, hey, by the way, Cher tweeted at me about what I said. I said it on Twitter.
Different Cher. This, it's not.
I, oh, it, but it, she was verified. It's good enough. anyways, but what I said was, I go, this is the John Hughes 80s movie that we all deserve. The John Hughes superhero 80s movie that we all deserve. That's what I said. And I had like the little Donald Duck gif. He's counting money, right? Because Marvel keeps printing money. I absolutely loved it. I adored it for everything that it was. Was it the perfect movie? No, but no movie's perfect. But I think this was literally the best Spider-Man movie I've ever seen. And I really say that now being a week out from it, because I wasn't 100% sure if Spider-Man 2 was still the best Spider-Man movie I've seen. This is better than Spider-Man 2, in my opinion. I actually want to go see it again. That's how much I really liked it. So I'm going to be quiet. Pete, tell me, why were you underwhelmed by Spider-Man? I'm dying to know.
Preface, you can see over my shoulder, whichever one this is, I collect comic books. So it's, I kind of have a vested interest in a lot of these MCU movies, maybe from a collector / financial perspective, you know, because I collect a lot of the, I collect major key books. I agree with you. Best Spider-Man movie ever put out. And I told you that in the chat, but I didn't leave the theater like I left after Guardians of the Galaxy or the Avengers flicks. And then to that, to that point, Doctor Strange. And that's just because for me, while it was good, I thought there could have been more. Like, I'll likely see it again in the theater because it was good. I enjoyed it. The beginning of the movie was hilarious. I loved it. The plot twist threw me. Like, I wasn't seeing it. But the rest of the movie, I don't want to say was boring. I don't want to say this. Don't, please don't get me wrong on that. But there were times in the movie where I was kind of like, all right, you know, let's, I get what they're doing. You know, it's a plot device, but can we just get to the action, you know? And maybe that's because I've become accustomed to the Deadpool actions, you know, like, you know, seeing the Avengers or, you know, Age of Ultron, Guardians of the Galaxy and seeing all of that stuff. I didn't see it as much, and I get the whole origin story. You have to, I mean, it's, I'm going to hold myself there because I don't want to throw things out there that maybe could be construed as spoiler. The writing of it was well done. The acting was well done. You know, I mean, who's going to argue with Marissa Tomei on screen? I know you weren't.
Oh no, I was not.
But like I said, I didn't leave the theater like I did after Avengers, Deadpool, Guardians of the Galaxy, like so amped up and talking to my friends and whoever was with me about it. And like when I left Guardians or when I left Doctor Strange with like my family, my wife and kids, like we sat there and dug into the movie. Like even after the Star Wars movies, you know, like, Rogue One and all those. The next hour after the movie was going through the movie, cutting and dicing and finding out things and, you know, thoughts. There wasn't any of that with Spider-Man after I left. And that kind of was a disappointment because maybe, like I said, avid comic book collector, I have a lot more invested than the average moviegoer into whether it be Spider-Man or it would be, you know, any MCU movie or DC movie for that matter. But I maybe disappointed is the wrong word. I'm trying to find the right word to say why, but for me, it just didn't hit that sweet, like crazy spot where that's all I could talk about for the next 2 or 3 hours.
Oh, I get that. I understand that. I respect it. I think we're kind of, that's how I felt with Wonder Woman. And yes, we don't need to get into that right now. You know what I mean? And then like, you know, you were more hyped on Doctor Strange where I walked out of Doctor Strange. I'm like, all right, that was all right. You know, oh, okay. You know, but this one, I think because Spider-Man is, when I really, really, you know, break it down, is probably my favorite comic book character ever. And I felt like they captured the true essence of what made Spider-Man Spider-Man. Because, okay, here's the best compliment I can give this movie. This was a Peter Parker movie. This was not a Spider-Man movie, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's why I loved it, because it was about 15-year-old Peter Parker dealing with 15-year-old things. But, oh, by the way, I have these amazing abilities and Tony Stark, of all people, is my mentor, you know, and he's giving me this amazing suit to use. So that's where I got. And again, I don't want to spoil a lot of stuff, but Michael Keaton knocked it out of the park as the villain. He's probably been the best Marvel villain we've seen in the MCU as far as on in the movies since Loki, you know, realistically. I still think Kingpin Daredevil is probably the best, but you know, I loved his performance. I'll shut up because I don't want to spoil anything. I want people that haven't seen it yet to go see it. But yeah, I thought it was great. But like I said, I was just curious to see. But I will end what I got to say with this. February 18th or February 16th, 2018. It's lit, fam. It's lit. It's lit. It's going to be the blackest movie on the planet. I might wear I might grow an afro and have a dashiki on. It's, oh my God. I can't wait. I cannot wait. Cannot wait. You have awesome. No idea.
That's so awesome. I will say though, in support of what you were saying about the John Hughes thing, that's what I liked about it. And I get that part of it where it was allowing us to see that, how do I say this? Allowing us to see that young, exuberant Peter Parker, understanding that he has his, you know, he has his flaws because he's immature, because he's young. He doesn't have the experiences to draw on. But when the movie ends, you see him mature into the Spider-Man that everybody, or the Peter Parker.
Spoilers. Let's not spoil anything.
I'm not spoiling anything. I'm just saying the way he grows up within the movie, that is, in that respect, I totally agree with you with Spider-Man.
Okay. I was just being careful on that, but no. Yeah. Yeah. So it's a great movie. I think everyone, if you haven't seen it, definitely go see it. It's just a fun time at the movies. It really is. So I think we should go ahead and wrap it up now. I want to thank everyone. Matter of fact, I just handed out the last two of the 20, Destiny 2 beta codes. I know Pete, you had been dropping a couple in there as well.
Yep.
But I want to thank everyone for hanging out for this. Like I said, we're doing this Twitch thing. This is a lot of fun being able to do it in front of a live audience and get that real-time feedback as we talk about these various subjects. We have another announcement coming. We don't want to officially say it until it is official. We're just waiting for the ink to dry, so to speak. But let's just say we're going to have a bigger presence here on Twitch. I will leave it at that. People listening to this on the podcast. Oh, let me say this, by the way, because we just got this news. Podcast listeners, thank you so much for your support. Mm-hmm. During E3, we had over 1.1 million listens or downloads of Gamertag Radio during the month of June. Freaking amazing. Thank you so much for all the support. You know, a lot of that came during E3 and all the content that we put out for E3. We always know that's a big usage time for us. And thank you again to Western Digital for being our sponsor during all that kind of stuff, because it really helped us out during that week in Los Angeles. But yeah, amazing. Absolutely amazing that three of us, it's only three of us, we were able to get that kind of coverage that week during E3. And then, like I said, now that we're doing Twitch, we're doing YouTube and all that kind of stuff, it's just expanding us to a bigger audience. And everyone here at Twitch, thank you so much for checking us out and supporting us here. And like I said, another announcement is literally days away. We'll announce that on social media. We might even have a special announcement stream to talk about it as well. But big plans coming for Gamertag Radio. I'm super excited. Pete, what about yourself?
Now, again, shout out to everyone in the Discord chat, in the Discord server that's been supporting us. Shout out to our longtime listeners that have been there. I mean, hell, when I wasn't even on the show, you know, just everybody. Thank you. Thank everyone. You know, thank you know, the good folks over at CBS and Play.it for being there and supporting us. Obviously, Western Digital for the big support. We can't forget the rest of them. Blue Apron, thank you guys as well. Just, man, you don't understand the amount of support that we've gotten.
Yes.
It's unbelievable. And you never really know the kind of support you have until you actually get it. And, I mean, it's mind blowing the way this has all exploded on us relatively overnight. Almost, it's almost the way to say that. I also want to
give a shout out
to the following people: Espinosa, SVT, King Julian, DDP, Baby Boy 86, Dos Blas, A Deuce Clean, D Rock, 344 Wash, and Mumbles 10 for following all during the show. Shout out to you guys. We appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And I have to give a shout out to the founder of GTR, our brother, Danny Pena, aka Godfrey, for not being on this episode yet, up in the private chat trying to tell us what to do. Be on the show. Be on the show. That's all I gotta say. Nah, man, we love you, man. You know that. Yeah, man. So we've given out all the codes here. I think we're gonna go ahead and wrap up the show at this point. So, Danny, let everybody know where they can leave us feedback and where they can find us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Yep. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right. I want to thank everyone that hung out with us tonight here on Twitch. I want to thank everyone that's listening to us on the podcast. We will be on Twitch again live at 6:30 a.m. Pacific, 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Sunday. Again, if you follow us on twitch.tv/gamertagradio, you go to our page. We have our schedule listed. Pete and I are still trying to work out the details on some gameplay streams that we can do consistently. Again, shout out to Danny. He's been getting up in the mornings and he's been streaming like Forza Horizon 3 and Gears of War 4. And, you know, people have been checking it out. But we want to set like a consistent schedule so you guys will know when we're going to be on and you can come hang out in the chat room with us and do all that stuff. I personally will be streaming Trials of Osiris from Destiny 1 to Friday night at 6 p.m. Pacific with my son and a ringer, because I need to go to the lighthouse. And on July 18th, 10 a.m. Pacific, I'll be playing Destiny 2 beta again with my son and just a cavalcade of people that'll be coming in. And I'm sure Pete will be jumping in. He'll probably be streaming some PUBG, and I'll let him talk about that. I won't talk for him. So, again, we're trying to figure out that whole streaming schedule. So, Pete, anything you want to add to that before we get out of here?
Yeah, same thing. Like Parrot said, we're trying to figure out a schedule that doesn't, you know, that doesn't conflict with each other to make sure that, you know, you guys get to see what we're playing, hopefully participate. I've said this in the past. I want to have at minimum, at least one community game session so that it's me and, you know, whether it be three people or, you know, if we're doing squads on PUBG or if I'm just doing duos, but I want to play with other people and not just the ones that we always play with, like the Beakers and OK Devs and Duffy and stuff like that. I want others, like, you know, shout out to Phoenix. I know he's been playing. He's jumped in with us and gotten some chicken dinners with us. Def Prime has done that. But if anybody else in the Discord server has been, you know, been part of that, hit us up. If you're playing, I want to play with you. Also considering doing maybe just a solo night where it's just me doing stupid stuff on solos and getting killed in the first 5 minutes or less. It's happened. You know, getting back into Wildlands, cause I love that game. It's really fun. I want to get more into the DLC that's popped up, over the last month. So, I mean, hey, as we're wrapping up the show, I'm already firing up PUBG. So if there's anybody out there, in the Twitch chat, you know, if you're watching, you want to join up, send me a message, hit me up on the Steams, or hit me up on Twitter, Pete Rock, same as my Twitch channel. Hit us up. Then once again, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening to the show. Appreciate all of you.
I just have to say, before we get out of here, could people probably, I've been laughing the whole time you were talking, but the reason why, if you could see what Danny is saying to us in the private chat, it is, oh my God, it's not safe for children. That's all I'll say. So again, I want to thank everyone for hanging out with us tonight and listening to the show. So I think we'll go ahead and wrap this up. People that are in the Twitch chat might hang around for a few minutes after. So we might have a little quote unquote after party, so to speak, on Twitch. So people listening, if you ever want to check that out, definitely tune in when we record live. So Pete, any last words before we get out of here?
No, once again, thanks everybody for listening, watching, supporting the show any way you can. I will get on Danny's case about getting some more of these, maybe get a merch store or something out on the internet, and hopefully get some of these in your hands to rep the show.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Trust me when I tell you, because Danny and I had the conversation already. We're working on something, so we'll definitely have something to talk about that in the future. So with all that said, this has been episode 681 of Gamertag Radio. I am Paris. That's Pete. Danny's in the private chat cussing us out. We will see you guys on Sunday.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.